Welcome to the Design Doctor Podcast, where we talk about how to decorate, remodel, or build a home without losing your mind. I'm your host, Krisha Palmer, physician turned interior designer and life coach. So come on in and have a seat. Let's talk. Hey friends, welcome to the podcast. I'm really excited today because we have a special guest, Renee Elliott. She is the owner and principal stylist for Toronto-based Recreative Works, a boutique home staging business for busy realtors that helps them sell their listings. So Renee and I actually met last year in a mastermind that we were both in for interior designers. And I knew when we met that I wanted to have her on the podcast because, Renee, I get a lot of questions about staging and even like remodeling and staging a home in preparation for selling. So I think that your expertise is going to be invaluable for my listeners. So I want to just dive right in. Welcome to the podcast. I'll stop and say welcome. Can you just start off by telling us a little bit about your business, kind of how you got into this area and a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very honored. So I own a home staging business in Toronto, and our job is to help Toronto realtors market and list their property so that it sells quickly and fast. My background actually is in fashion, and I've been in that industry for many, many years. And then, you know, created a blog, and it was more of a lifestyle blog, and I really was drawn to interiors. So I started doing some freelance work, redoing people's offices. I did a lot of like store design, window displays, and just was freelancing in the creative space. And my best friend is a real estate agent. So she was like, can you help me stage a listing? And so here both of us are, have no idea what we're doing. We go shopping, we buy a bunch of stuff, we stage the home, we style it. It was mostly just styling with accessories. And then when it sold, we packed it all up and returned it to the store. And then she's like, can you help me with my next one? And we did the same thing. And I was like, this is not efficient. And she was like, I think you should do this. And I, at the time, almost 10 years ago, staging wasn't, I didn't love it. It had its own look, it had its own aesthetic. And I did not resonate with that at all. I was too cool for school. I was like, I don't want to be part of that. And then I came across a company in Australia. They're called the Real Estate Stylist. And they do staging in such a fun, modern way. And it was the first time that it hit me that I'm like, oh, I could do this with my own vibe, my own aesthetic. And nobody was doing that in Toronto. So I was like, okay, let's do this. And so step one is I have no inventory. So I had no money. I created this business with nothing, which is pretty crazy when I think about it. But I just built up my inventory over time. And so it does, it takes time. But, 8 years later, I have, or almost nine, a 4,000 square foot warehouse full of furniture and beautiful accessories and a team, and, things take time, but here we are. Yeah,
that's remarkable. I mean, and just building that from nothing is remarkable in and of itself, but I think it's really cool. I'm going to circle back. Number one, I have a question about fashion. So that's so intriguing because I feel like there's so much creative crossover in a lot of these fields. So you were first interested in fashion. So tell me a little bit more about that. Like what exactly were you interested in? How did you transition into kind of, the home staging? I think you already answered that.
Yeah, I could talk about the fashion. It was something that I always loved as a kid. My mom taught me how to sew. I would make clothes for myself and some of my friends. I would start selling these like drawstring pants that, I just would loved it. I was always very entrepreneurial. I wanted to be a fashion designer and then quickly realized how frustrated I get with a sewing machine. So I was like, maybe more of the business of fashion. And so I went in that direction and learned all about it and loved it. And in the program that I was in, we had a different internship. So it was a really good way to experience different aspects of the industry. And I fell into the wholesale sales. And still am very, very close with my first boss. I consider her like a sister to me. And so she kind of showed me the ropes, and we traveled to all the trade shows with our collections that we represented. And it was just so cool. I was young, fresh out of school. So I was 21. And I just thought I was, I made it. I thought I made it. I was traveling. And it was so fun. So I did that for like maybe just over 6 years, but it was just such an interesting way because we got to like sell collections a season ahead. So I was always a season ahead, and it was just like cool to see, you know, we got really involved in some of the design process. We got to see what worked and what didn't work from like a retail level as well. It was just really cool to experience trends and how they develop and what lasts and what doesn't last. And yeah, it was a great experience. I think that it all goes hand in hand because it's very similar.
Totally makes sense. I can totally, like, even just hearing you talk a little bit more about the fashion, I can totally see how you would use, you know, very similar skills in transitioning over to staging. So you mentioned that, you know, at the beginning you had looked at home staging businesses and thought the aesthetic was kind of law, right? Can you describe that? Like, what do you mean? Was it just kind of a one size fits all, like it didn't resonate with you? And I'm asking you this because I know right now you have a very signature style, which is beautiful. So can you tell me, like, what was it about that was off-putting to you?
Yeah, without, because it still exists, so I don't want to say anything negative.
That's okay.
But it was a lot of glass and shiny chrome, although chrome is making a comeback, but in a very different way. It was like shaggy carpets. It was a lot of like, you know, just red accents or just like teal accents and really terrible, like generic artwork, poorly styled, like no personality, white leather sofas, just really not nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I look at your work now, and we'll tell our listeners at the end how to find you on Instagram, but you have such a calming, serene, approachable aesthetic. Can you tell us a little bit about your own style and kind of how you developed that?
Yeah, I've developed it over the years. And I think that with trends, it changes and it has to, because with staging, it's very quick, fast paced. You have to appeal to that specific time. And so, you know, that's always a challenge when I'm buying inventory because I need to like invest in these pieces and I want them to last. And so we tend to have more fun with the accessories or just have maybe a couple fun signature like chairs or something that stand out. And I've always been a lover of like antique shopping, vintage hunting. So I love mixing old and new. I feel like that's sort of our signature and where, you know, the personality lies. But I kind of just gravitate to what I love, and I love design, and I like to approach staging from an interior design perspective and not totally just from like staging to sell. Like, I think there's a combination of both. And I always say to the homeowners and to the realtors, my goal is for someone not to walk into the space and say, oh, wow, this is staged. How nice. I want them to walk into the space and say, wow, like, really cool people live here. So I want it to feel approachable. I want it to feel lived in. I want it to feel relatable, but I want it to be done really well with good taste. So I think it's just like what I gravitate to, and it changes over time. And so we were really into like a lot of the neutrals a couple years ago, and now we're moving more into a little bit of like moody colors and adding, you know, different elements. And it's fun to change it up. And so I want to give our clients something new. And so the listings aren't all looking the same, and that they have something to look forward to, or that their listings stand out on the market. Cause once you do something for a while, people pick up on it, and, you know, other stagers might be doing something similar. So we're at a point right now where we're changing it up a little bit and just having fun with some color and some deeper colors and just like integrating even more vintage aspects. So that's
I
sort
love
of,
that.
Yeah. How it kind of evolved.
Yeah, no, I love that. Even just for me, I think that would be appealing because it's not always the same. You get to change it up and make, you know, make it different. You said, I was looking at your website and you mentioned one of the things that stood out to me is you said, first impressions count. Can you tell me a little bit about that in terms of selling a house?
Yeah. And I think it's the same with in person as well, right? Like, as we meet people, you get one chance to make a first impression. And so often the first impression is from photos, right? They're seeing this property online. And so we always have to think about what this property is going to look like in online, what angles a photographer is going to snap photos of, but also what it's going to feel like in person. And so we want it to evoke emotional something from them. So I want them to fall in love with this space. We need to make sure we're highlighting the great parts of a property, but also making other parts stand out to maybe there's not so favorable parts of the house, right? You don't want to like focus on like the negative parts of the house,
right?
You know, because some of it's not always renovated, or sometimes there's just things, right? So we want them to be focused on like the highlights of the house and also just falling in love with like an emotional connection. I guess that's what it is. It's like a really, yeah. We're trying to create like an emotional connection for the buyer.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know our listeners have lots of questions, and I've tried to think like, what questions would they have? So I'm going to ask you some. And the first one is, what are some of the advantages of hiring a stager? Just so like for, and I know that you primarily do this for real estate agents, but if someone, let's just say a homeowner wanted to hire a home stager, what are some of the advantages to think about when it comes to that?
Yeah. So we like to approach each property with the mindset of an interior designer, but also from a marketing perspective. So it's taking into account like a lot of different things, and you want to like take into account like the neighborhood, the demographic, the style of the home, all of those things. But then hiring a home stager, it sort of, first of all, it takes the pressure off of you having to do that yourself, because I find a lot of people are very, very emotionally attached to their homes. And so you really need to be unemotional about the process. And so having someone come in who is, you know, has an outside perspective can be really a big advantage. So what we would do is that we would go into the property to do a site visit. We take notes, photographs, videos, measurements, like we just get all the information. And what we do is create a report. I like to call it even a checklist. And so what we'll do is prepare, I divide it by each room in the home and give them their homework of things to do. So often it's going to be decluttering is the top thing. I'm always amazed, you know, even for myself, how much we all accumulate. Like you don't realize until you're actually in the moving process and you're like, how did I have so much stuff? So yes. Decluttering is number one. But we also on there will, you know, suggest what rooms to paint, what color to paint. Maybe there's some quick little updates like changing hardware, light fixture recommendations, all of that. And we do all of that in mind with like what our staging design plan will be. And so it's really just it's a lot of emotional work. It's a lot of time for a homeowner just to go through the moving and buying and selling process. So we'd like to just take that load from them and just make it as easy as possible. So I think it's like, you already have enough on your plate. So let someone who knows how to do this well and is a professional, like handle it, because a home is your largest investment and you want to make sure that you handle that with care.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can see, I can totally see the benefit of having somebody that's objective from the outside coming in to do it, because I think you're right. We are so emotionally attached to our homes. And so I find, you know, sometimes it's hard if you've got a room that you love and it's maybe some crazy bold color that's perfect for you, but may not be the best to sell your home or to coordinate with like staging the home. It can be hard to detach from that and let that go. And I think that, you know, just having that third objective party come in to help with that, I agree with you. It takes a lot of that kind of emotional baggage out of it, you know?
Yeah, totally. But you become very attached to your home and your things and the memories there. So you need that outside perspective for sure.
Yeah. What are just some of the principles and concepts you use when staging? Like, what are some little, I don't know if you have any little tips or tricks that kind of help sell a home when it comes to, you know, how you're arranging the furniture or how you're styling it?
Yeah, I always say a fresh coat of white paint makes all the difference. I know for a lot of people, white might be boring, but it just gives a really clean, bright, neutral palette for someone to reimagine themselves in the home. So I start with that. I think that's a big one. But having furniture that's to scale to the room is really important. You know, I get it. We all love a big, cozy, comfy sectional, but that might not be doing any service to your room. And so sometimes we need to shift some stuff around. Another thing that I really try to do is be practical about how we lay out the space and think of what the main use of the space would be. So for example, in Toronto, we have a lot of condos and they're small, they're tiny footprints. And so The number one thing I hear and the feedback I get is that people want to know where they're going to watch TV because there's just, you have your kitchen, your living room, and some bedrooms. And so some of the layouts don't really speak to that. So we need to like really think about having a sofa facing a TV. So it needs to be practical, but also needs to look beautiful. You want to make sure the room is big. So it's like taking into account all of that.
Yeah.
When you're doing the planning process. And then obviously depersonalizing, decluttering are going to be important to that. And then I always say just having something that's well-designed, well-curated, that makes all the difference.
Yeah, yeah, totally. If someone is attempting to stage their own home, and I guess you this kind of just said this, but is there anything else that they could think about if they're trying, because a lot of people are going to try to, do it themselves or kind of, I get lots of questions about like, should we replace this light fixture or should we replace, bigger things like the flooring or the countertops? Do you have any suggestions? And I know this is not really staging necessarily, but just because you're in that, industry, do you have any suggestions on kind of how far do you go?
Yeah, I guess it depends on budget and it depends on your timeline. So sometimes we have to get things to the market really quickly and there's not time for that. But if there is time, and I always recommend that you do take care of some of the stuff. So if you have, let's say, a runner or carpeting up your stairs and it's dirty and it's beyond clean, like cleanable, it's like replacing things like that. Paint, of course. Sometimes instead of like doing an entire kitchen renovation, would it make more sense just to paint the cupboards? It's like just sort of assessing where you're going to get the most value, and certain rooms you will get more value. So you want to like your principal rooms, your living room, your family room, your dining room, your kitchen, your primary bedroom, your main bathroom, those are going to be the ones that you want to focus on. And then you can think about the other rooms if there's still time and budget left. But I think it's really important that you put some love into your home. And it's funny because once we finish staging a home, once a homeowner has completed all the tasks and has done a few, I call them lipstick renos, they always stand back and they're like, why didn't I do this while we lived there?
No, I hear that all the time.
All the time. And I said, life, we get busy with kids and all the things, and it takes a back seat. So it's always that it never fails that we get that comment. But going back to what your question is, that I do think it's definitely worthwhile to assess those main rooms and just think about how you can neutralize it, make it feel fresh and modern. That will get you more value.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes total sense. What are just some common mistakes that you see people who are maybe trying to stage it themselves, or when you go into a home that you're staging, what are some common mistakes that you see homeowners make?
The artwork is always hung way too high. And every
yes,
single
I agree. I just did a podcast like a couple of episodes ago about that. That's funny. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, everyone needs to follow you and your tips because artwork is always, always too high. I find that furniture is often too big. There's usually too many items, too much furniture in a space. We need to like reduce some of that.
Simplify, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's just like removing the personality of the space. And I don't say that because we want to have these boring spaces. I think that there is ways to integrate personality, but doing it in a way where it would appeal to more people, because if it's very, very specific, that might turn some people off. So you need to be careful. It's a very fine line because we don't want to just do boring homes. We want them to be fun and memorable, but it's a fine line. So taking some of the personality, removing personal photos, I'm trying to think of all the things, or just how people would use the space. So I always say you get the most value out of your home if you stage the bedrooms as bedrooms. So sometimes it might just be a couple, like, a husband and wife that live, or husband and husband or whatever, live in a home, and it's a 3-bedroom home, but they just need one bedroom. And maybe they've turned the other two into a closet and an office. So I always suggest, you will get more value saying that there's 3 bedrooms, that they can see the bedroom. Because if you can fit a bed and nightstands and all the things into a room, someone else can imagine a desk can go in there if they wanted to turn to the office. So you, it's best to, so that's important. I think that's a really big one that I see. And so, yeah, I would say that those are like the main.
That makes total sense because I think, you know, I think about walking into a home that, you know, you're potentially gonna buy and seeing a bedroom as a bedroom rather than an office or a closet. You know, I think we take it, you know, some of us are good visualizers, but a lot of people have a hard time visualizing it, even though they know and intellectually like, oh, this is a big walk-in closet that they've created out of this room, but we need another bedroom. And even though they intellectually know that, sometimes for people, I think it's really hard to make that leap to this could actually be a bedroom. And we, you know, this house is perfect. We want to move forward. So yeah, like taking away all of those kind of unknowns and questions and staging it for, you know, what its intended use is makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And also like when you, it's always so funny because I see a lot of vacant properties or people are like, well, should we just empty the room out? Would that be better? Mm-hmm. And I always say furniture in a space, the right size of furniture placed in the right layout will make your room feel bigger. Always.
Yeah.
So if you think just in a bedroom, having one desk is going to make it feel bigger, it just won't, because people, like you said, do not often have the imagination and they cannot visualize what a bed
fill it in.
Would look like. So you want to just like take away all the guesses and just give them exactly what they need to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes perfect sense. Can you just tell us a little bit about your staging services? Like I know do you mainly just provide services for real estate agents, or do you do any work directly like for homeowners?
Yeah, we work with both of them. It's often the real estate agent that we have the connection with, and they recommend us to their homeowners. Every now and then we have a homeowner who reaches out to us directly or might suggest the realtor work with us if they follow us on Instagram. So yeah, it's definitely both. And then in terms of our services, we do our staging, like our in-person staging service. And we just recently launched a virtual staging service. And I was really on the fence to do that because I know in the staging world, people have mixed feelings about virtual staging. But for us, it was important because a lot of the realtors we work with do a lot of rentals and leases. Sometimes they don't have the budget to do the whole house and maybe the basement gets left empty. And so it's a way to maybe do hybrid, you know, staging, like in-person staging with the virtual, or for their leases where there's a much smaller margin for them, they can do it virtually. So it's actually been fun. Yeah. And we just launched that a couple months ago, but so far it's been a cool experience offering that.
That's so exciting. I love that actually, because it's interesting because a lot of my work, my design work is virtual, and you know, the design industry has changed overall. And a lot of people are, you know, initially were like, what, you do this virtually? Like you're never on site. And I'm like, yes, thank you, internet and Zoom and all the technology we have makes it possible. So are you doing everything in that way, like through Zoom and calls and that sort of thing? Like, how does that work?
So for us, it's a bit different. So really what we need to do the virtual is just professional photos of a vacant space and a floor plan. And so we can just do it from then. If they have specifics that they want, say it's a condo and it's a 1+1. So sometimes maybe they want the den to be a nursery, or maybe they want it to be an office. So if they have any specifics, we ask, you know, questions, and we have a little bit of like a questionnaire, but otherwise it's like just over email. It's super quick and easy. And we have to turn these things around really quickly. So within 72 hours, you'll have your virtually staged photos. And then they start listing on the market. And also what you just said, like also gives us access to people outside of Toronto. So if you want access to our style and aesthetic and want to work with us, it could be from anyone in the world, which is really cool.
That's awesome. So the virtual, is it creating the images, or are you giving them suggestions on what to actually physically do in the space or things to use in their space?
So we take their photos of vacant rooms and we place furniture and accessories.
Okay.
And then they use those photos on MLS.
Those images. Yeah. Oh, cool. Very cool. That's cool. That's brilliant. Yeah.
It works really well. It does, like, you know, it takes away a little bit when you, because there's always going to be in-person showings. No one's going to rent or buy a space typically without seeing it in person. So they're going to go see it in person and see that it's empty. But, you know, if there is a tight budget, this is a really like budget-friendly way to get style and still, you know, have great photos.
And like you say, they're always going to look at the photos first before they decide if they're going to go, you know, visit it. So they've already got that visual in their mind. So I think even for those that have a hard time visualizing, you know, what could, you know, how this could be my space if it's empty, they've at least already had that visual of yours that they've seen online, which is brilliant, I think. Awesome.
Yeah. It gives them the idea of like how to lay it out, what type of furniture would fit in the space, and, you know, all of the stuff that most people don't know where to start with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So where can our listeners find you? Where can they find out all about this? And if they're interested in, let's just say they're not in Canada and they're interested in your virtual service, where can they find you?
You can find us on Instagram, Recreative Works, and our website's recreativeworks.com. We're also on TikTok, Recreative Works. I am not the best at updating TikTok, so I would
I'm not either. TikTok always falls by the wayside. I was good at it for a while, and now I haven't posted in months. But
me too.
I don't know what is it about TikTok.
No, it feels harder. I don't know what it is.
I know.
You're the Instagram queen. You're gold all the way. But yes, we're on Instagram. Like, please check us out. DM us any questions. Like, happy to answer anything.
Yes, definitely go to her Instagram because it is. You can see all of her work, and it is absolutely gorgeous. So, all right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and really appreciate it. We'll have to stay in touch for sure.
Yes. Thank you so much. It was so nice to see your face as well.
If you're a woman physician who loves all things design and decorating, be sure to check out my private Facebook group, House Calls for Physicians, or you can visit my website at www.housecallsforphysicians.com.